Blog Talk Radio.
It's the most notorious rogue of the nation, accompanied by. Cause I'm tired of lag and even dealing with it. Kinda bumming and feeling a little down and out. Cause every time we jump on the mob, I get to lagging out. But Gigi is saying,
I'm really wanting you to go.
So yo, I'ma suck it up cause Nation is a pro. I told her, let me restart and I'll be right back. And she told me,
hurry up Nation, we're starting ASAP.
So I log a restart, then get back on the game. And I make it out to Nax to go and check that what's his name. But during this patchwork, I get a freeze frame. Cause everybody is casting their spells, it's kinda lame. Everything is skipping and jumping and moving real slow. Looking at my health on the top and it's dropping. I'm real low, spamming every key on my keyboard and face roll. PST and GD, cause I gotta let her know. Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Good morning. Good morning. Yeah, that is definitely a voice to wake up to on a Monday.
I just want to point out to you, the natives are not happy with us on the weekend. I've been experiencing the messages. It got worse this weekend, even though I have announced it all week. We are not here on the weekend. It was ugly. Well, it wasn't ugly. Everybody was nice. They were like, where's my DDR? We are not on. It's not on the weekend. Oh, my God. It's nice to be loved, though. It's really nice.
Yes, it is nice to be loved.
Happy Monday. This is Lunch with Ginger and Kara. And I'm Kara.
And I'm Ginger.
Yes, we are laughing already this morning. Because you know what we were doing before the show? Gossiping. And we were not even paying attention. It was time to go on the air.
I know. I didn't even get to finish my gossip.
And I'm all left hanging. I'm like, what did you even say?
My gossip.
I was like,
girl,
what
it was crazy.
Juicy.
Crazy weekend.
It has been a crazy weekend.
And even getting outside of the, you know, getting away from the computer, getting out of town, did not help the crazy weekend.
Because you stay logged into the room. I told Ginger, I said, why are you logged in? Aren't you supposed to be out?
I was out. I was on the road. Thank you, Verizon. Love you, Verizon.
Now, you know what I did? I tested out the, it's called Pocket Metaverse, which is an app for the iPad for Second Life. I wanted to see how.
Yes, actually, I've had that. Well, I had the iPhone app. That is the equivalent of that.
It's interesting. Yeah. It's got a major glitch, you know, because you know I got like 15 avatars. So when I switched between one, I still had the friends list up from the other one.
Interesting.
So it was still showing people from the other name. I was like, this could be bad because I don't. None of my avatars interact with the other ones or the same people, except for the two, you know, that I tell everybody about. But I have the other ones, I don't interact with the same people. I don't talk to them. So I can have a clean experience, kind of like a clean install of
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, messaging the wrong person by mistake. Whoops.
Yes. I will tell y'all the one clue to finding me. All my avatars have the name Corey in it in some form or another. Every single one of them. But look, about somebody's gonna be like, I knew that was you. No,
yeah,
I don't even go.
Just spend the day going down the list of all the Corys she can find.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
Yes, there are.
It's like thousands.
I guess it's you.
They're gonna be like, who? What? I think I have one. No, I have two that don't have the name Corey too. But I very rarely play those. Those are I need money from you type of things.
Very nice.
Oh, so but yeah. No, no, I am in strange people, Ginger. Don't you?
Oh, come on, man. I meet, like, awesome people when I'm, you know, I am strange people.
We're not going to talk about your drama.
Girl. I got drama. Oh,
I know.
No, you don't. It got much worse.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. All right, you know what? People are here for news, and we're sitting here talking drama and vaguely, so they don't even know what we're talking about. Yeah, y'all gonna have to tune in later. I'll write the story. Oh,
see,
my
that
God.
May look. That may be your weekend show right there. We could tell you the gossip. you want to know.
Could be.
Because they are harassing me, seriously. I love y'all, but it's early. Don't be messaging me early like that. I'm sleeping on the weekend. If I wasn't this time, but...
It's too early on the weekend.
Girl, it was... Yeah. Anyway, what you got, Ginger?
I apparently got the Googles. All right, I have got some bad news. Bad news. AT&T, I hate you. Please die. All right, so AT&T to throttle heaviest data users October 1st. All right, so...
Oh, my, beginning of my favorite month. You going to start doing this? Ruin my month?
No, I know. That is the best month ever because that's when my birthday is.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yay! All right, so this is coming from GamePolitics.com. Ars Technica has confirmed that AT&T will begin throttling the data speeds of its heaviest wireless users beginning October 1st. AT&T spokesman Jackie Vetturino told Ars that data throttling for heavy users will begin on October 1st and will only apply to users who still pay for unlimited data and not users who pay for the non-unlimited tiers. The company has also posted a statement about the change on its website. It says, starting October 1st, smartphone customers with unlimited data plans may experience reduced speeds once their usage in a billing cycle reaches the level that puts them among the top 5% of heaviest data users. These customers can still use unlimited data, and their speeds will be restored with the start of the next billing cycle. Before you are affected, we will provide multiple notices, including a grace period. This change will never impact the vast majority of our customers and is designed to create a better service experience for all. Looks like Verizon has already implemented a similar policy in February of this year. Yeah, so I don't like either one of you, but I like Verizon much better than I like you, AT&T. So,
well, as I've just posted on Twitter, let the exodus begin, because I know a lot of you are like, I am so out of here.
True story. So out of here.
I left AT&T a long time ago, but I do probably need to loan. I mean, God, now I can't talk. I need to warn my neighbor. I'm sorry, I just got the oddest thing. My one of my friend's daughters sent me a friend request on Facebook, and in my head, she's like 3, but she's not 3 anymore. It just threw me for a loop. Okay, so I used the wrong word. Anyway, that has nothing to do with y'all. We tell y'all too much. You know too much. We must kill all of you now. Well, I have a nice news story because, you know, we got to give Nintendo credit because they did something kind last week. Yeah. But, well, we have to give them credit. Remember, they did something kind last week. They took a pay cut, or, you know, the higher-ups took a pay cut to keep the company going. Well, apparently, they're ushering in a new age of game developers being sweet because now Sony's doing something sweet. How sweet of you, Sony, and not just charity, but actually doing something. Yes, Sony, Gamma Sutra's reporting this morning that Sony is loaning out the Vita dev kits to the indie developers. Right? Nice. Indie developer Rubicon Development has confirmed with Gamma Sutra that Sony has loaned multiple PlayStation Vita dev kits and is bringing its iOS title Great Little War game to the upcoming handheld. Paul Johnson, managing director at Rubicon, posted on the NeoGAF forums over the weekend, noting that Sony sent us 4 kits gratis, just like that. Yes, he also told Gamma Sutra, on the basis that you can't put the cat back in the bag, I can confirm that Sony was generous enough to loan us some kit, and that's one of the many reasons why I big them up every time, every opportunity I get. I like that he's still using that. He says, they really do seem to have gotten behind smaller developers based on my own experience, and from talking with other small devs, I think they should be saluted for it, and they should. He continued, we're entering a new era in which digital downloads can be translated into mass market sales for smaller operators, once only the preserve of the big boys. He did, however, note that the dev kits he has received are just loaners. We have to give them back when we're done. Reports circulating on the web claim that the kits are freely available to indies, but neither Sony nor Rubicon could immediately confirm the extent or scope of any such initiative. Gamma Sutra did contact Sony for comment, and they were told, nothing. But they did say last month a new $20 million 3-year investment plan that they revealed will see more PlayStation Network exclusive games released from independent developers, including the likes of Euphoria. Okay, I'm going to run this game. Okabu and Payday the Heist and Popo and Yo. So, yay for Sony. I'm going to give you some applause for that.
Sony.
That was so nice of you all.
That was so nice. So nice.
More indie developers means better, or it's not better games, but at least more forcing the big boys to work harder because they're giving us crap.
Yes, yes, they are. Oh my God, stop sending me crap.
Wait, speaking of which, I'll talk to you after the show.
Oh, all right.
She's hating me already.
I don't hate you. I love you. All right. So, Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and Kadokawa Games bring together the sweet and the undead in Lollipop Chainsaw.
Yeah.
All right, so killer heroine with a chainsaw fights to stop zombie takeover in Suda51's latest masterpiece for the PS3 and Xbox 360. All right, so Lollipop Chainsaw is an all-new third-person action game being developed by Grasshopper Manufacturer, led by celebrated game maker Goichi Suda, a.k.a. Suda51, and featuring the musical compositions of the renowned Akira Yamaoka. I hope I said your name right. I probably didn't. In addition to these two talented individuals, Warner Brothers Interactive has tapped Hollywood director-writer James Gunn, writer of Super Slither, Dawn of the Dead, Tromeo and Juliet, to bring his cult humor and edge storytelling to Lollipop Chainsaw.
I just like the name.
That is hilarious. Martin Tremblay, president of Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment, says, "Our exciting partnership with Kadokawa Games allows us to try something new by bringing a very unique game like Lollipop Chainsaw to Western markets. Grasshopper Manufacturers games have shown tremendous success with gamers around the globe, and we are delighted to expand our portfolio of Japanese-developed games." Yoshimi Yasuda, president of Kadokawa Games, says, "We are looking forward to partnering with Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment on our first entry into the HD console market. We are also thrilled to have a team like Grasshopper and talent like Suda51 creating such an interesting and distinct game for us to work with and bring to the fans. Lollipop Chainsaw is the undeadly story of sweet and killer zombie hunter Juliet Starling.
Sweet.
Yes. And her quest to uncover the root of colossal zombie outbreak. With her wickedly awesome chainsaw in hand, Juliet slices, dices, and splits her way through hordes of undead, but soon realizes the horde is only the opening act of a festival of zombie rock lords determined to kill the chainsaw-wielding cheerleader." Oh, my God. All right, so, you want more information on Lollipop Chainsaw, you can head over to lollipopchainsaw.com, or you can look them up on Facebook, or you can go over to gameandintrix.com right now and get both those links and a picture that I uploaded, because, oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have, for the show, gotten this press release from no less than 3 news outlets, so that means I got to read it.
Right.
Ah, yes, you people out there that love Battlefield 3, good news for you. EA has announced a Battlefield 3 novel written by consultant former SAS operator Andy McNabb. Yes, I said Andy McNabb. Apparently,
what we have here was...
Battlefield 3, The Russian novel is written by the highly decorated ex-SAS operator and best-selling author of Bravo 2-0, Andy McNabb, with co-author Peter Grimsdale. The book tells the backstory of RU Special Forces operator Dima, one of the hero soldiers featured in Battlefield 3's single-player campaign. Having first-hand experience of the drama and trauma of real war, McNabb and co-author Grimsdale bring an authentic voice with heart-wrenching perspective to the story. Like the game, the novel is charged with documentary intensity, high-octane action, and ripped from the headlines incursions. Battlefield 3, The Russian paints a picture of a soldier struggling to do whatever it takes to keep himself and his platoon alive. The modern military novel will be released alongside the game on October 25, 2011, and will be published by Orion Publishing in Europe and Grand Central Publishing in North America. In the game, the single-player story is revealed through a series of flashbacks as Marine Staff Sergeant Henry Blackburn races to prevent an attack on New York City by a deadly force known as the PLR. As Blackburn recalls key events leading up to the attack, players take control of several characters in hard-pounding missions across the land, sea, and air. One of the characters is Dmitry Dima Mayakovsky, a legendary and pragmatic GRU operator in the twilight of his Special Forces career. He's known as the Cleaner. Dima is the sort of person that does whatever it takes to get the job done. The book picks up where the game leaves off, allowing McNabb and Grimsdale to give a thrilling new perspective into Dima's own personal quest, as well as the events of Battlefield 3. It is impossible for any single medium to fully capture the emotion and intensity of war Battlefield 3, the Russian novel, is one window into the experience, and the game is another. They complement each other perfectly, said Andy McNabb. Working with DICE has been a fantastic ride. Battlefield 3 is going to surprise people this autumn. The story, the characters, the world, and the intense action come together to create a resonant, memorable experience. Now, you can read the rest of this very long PR up at our website, gamingatrix.com. You just want to go over to Gamer Girls Radio, click the Lunch with Ginger and Corey section, and it's right there. Now, I'm working on trying to get a copy of these to give away today, but I don't know. It is in the UK, and they are probably going to direct us to EA here. And we know, while the UK EA loves us, the American one not so much.
I know, and I don't know why. You know, you think they'd love us better because, you know, our fluffy cakes are closer, but...
And yeah, they don't. Something about the UK people is they love us, and we loves you back.
Yes, yes, it's because we're all awesome and stuff.
I don't know what it is, but we're hanging on to it. We bottled it, and we're not selling it. We're keeping it.
All right, I got some good news. Good news. I love this.
You do?
All right, This is coming from GamePolitics.com this morning. Operation Supply Drop successfully deploys game packages to active duty troops. That is awesome.
It took me a minute. I had a delay. I had some lag in my head. But, yeah, I got it.
All right, so Operation Supply Drop, a 501c3 nonprofit charity that creates video game care packages for American servicemen and women deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan, has collected $10,000 in donations in its 7 months of existence. The group says that this is all thanks to the public, which has been very generous in giving them the funds they will need to fill the request for video game-filled care packages to units in Iraq and Afghanistan. Two of the massive care packages reached their targets in June and July, codenamed Companion Cube, Afghanistan, and Little Hammer for Iraq. Thanks to the generosity of donors, the next care package, which has $1,800 in the latest and greatest games and gear, will ship to a military intelligence section stationed in Iraq. They're calling this drop codename Grease Gun. Oh, my God. So in the future, they're going to send a package to northern Afghanistan, which is codename Dragon Punch. Website GameCrush.com is donating the proceeds of its play dates to help fill out the package. You can learn more about the group's successful efforts and future plans over at fronttowardsgamer.com, or you can go directly to operationsupplydrop.org and see how you can help out. So, yes, if you've got a couple of, you know, pennies, you know, a couple of dimes, some dollars, even better, you know, a handful of dollars, go over there and throw it at them. They need it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I got two for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because one's short. I just got this. They are serious here. Okay, when I said send them in before 11, they are not playing around all of a sudden. Okay, so those of you who are all free browser-based MMOs, that's what you do. There's nothing wrong with that. You're still a gamer. We'll be happy to know a new game is out. Well, it's not really new, but it's kind of new. It's called Hellbreed. Some of you have been playing in beta already.
From that other one that I don't like.
Oh, I'm going to be quiet. I don't know nothing about that. I'm just mind my own business. Stay in my lane. Well, if you've been playing Hellbreed in beta, then you already know about it. And if not, and you love these kind of games, go over and check it out. It's called the Dark Hack and Slash Action has exciting challenges and over 150 handcrafted levels, 1A graphics, all waiting for you. As of right now, they're saying the doors are open. You can travel to the fractured world of Manjuri and experience captivating adventure. They said now's the time to get in because it's at the very beginning. This is when they're just getting started. They're saying you can fight alone or you can be in multiplayer mode against innumerable monsters. They have adventure settings. Each shard dimension features the continuing story and corresponding enemies. Fluid game. It's high game tempo without any downloads or lengthy battles. You can also choose your game length. You can decide between short scuffles or evening-long battles, which I like. Sometimes you just want to fight all.
Yes. Sometimes you want to kick butt.
And chew bubble gum. Until you fresh out of bubble gum. Okay.
Oh. Yes.
And they also say they have very polished graphics, detailed isometric display, and over 150 custom-made shard dimensions. Personal hero? Yes, your own personal hero. You can equip your champion as you like with weapons, skills, and magical orbs. You can select one of three heroes, warrior, huntress, or new and unique siege master. interesting. Again, you can pop over to check out the game at GameForge.com and enjoy. Let us know how you like it. I had started to play that, but I have not gotten, y'all know, too many games, still little time. All right, and that's a short one. So I'm going to jump in with another one if Miss G.
Mm-hmm.
Miss G does not mind. Thank you.
Miss Gigi does not mind.
Miss Gigi does not mind. Well,
I guess DC at the moment, but yeah.
Good Lord. I'm going to zip my lip and stay in my lane again. Stay in my lane. Infinity Ward is saying, bring it. Bring it.
Oh, yeah? Yes. Bring it.
Well, they're over. This is coming from GamePolitics.morning. GamePolitics.com. God, I'm having issues with words today. I think I'm developing Alzheimer's early or something. They're saying the very public face of Infinity Ward, so they don't take offense when you say you hate Call of Duty or criticize the game. Instead, the man in the public trenches for the wholly owned Activision studio takes those complaints and finds useful feedback to help his company build a better game. He says, we may have the number one selling game. This is creative strategist Robert Bowling, and this is what he told those guys over at that other website that are our frenemies, begin to the K. Yeah. Still waiting for you to correct my quote, guys. Says, we have, at times, the number one most played game, so it's very easy to sit back and say, we've done our jobs perfectly, and we have the best game ever created. Look at the numbers. He says, but then you can get online and have people kick dirt in your face constantly every day about anything that they may not like about the game. It allows you to have a gut check and anything they may not like about the game as well. It allows you to have, I'm sorry, gut check and perspective. I skipped up the whole line. That this is work we still need to go. This is work that we still need to do. Bowling also said the decision to join Twitter and talk to fans, and sometimes enemies, was the best decision he ever made from a development standpoint. I have to agree. He said it allows you not to rest on a claim alone, whether critical or commercial, and makes you realize that there's still audiences out there that want to enjoy your games that may not even play shooters, that may not be into the type of game you make. You can look at that and find ways to introduce them into the experience. Only problem I have is some of you out there are not good at conveying actual feedback. And let me give you examples for those of you who don't understand the difference. Your game sucks. That doesn't help the developers. Okay,
no.
Now let me give you a good example. Your game sucks. My character keeps falling through this hole by this particular building, and when I do, I blow up and die. See how much that helps?
Wow, blow up and die.
Well,
I mixed
three different games that that's happened to me, and one I did fall through a hole. That would be EverQuest. You have fallen through the world for 5,675,000,000,000 damage.
You know, I remember doing that.
It's by that rock just outside Quenos. Yeah. EverQuest Classic, let me be sure, because some people are like, what rock outside Quenos? That was in Classic. And then recently, my Call of Warriors experience where I couldn't get back in my car. Yeah, and I got hit by the truck.
Need to back up and do it again, though.
It was an 18 wheeler with logs on the back of that. It's really a pretty thing.
Ouch.
I have watched that on TV, you know, in movies, people getting hit by trucks, and you go, that would be interesting. It's different even when you're playing a game and you see it barreling towards you, and you're like, where do I go? I can't move out of the street. And then, bam, it hits you. It was not fun. It's not fun.
Oh, poor Corey.
I'm still pouting. I can finish it now. I'm scared.
Yeah, you sound so scared.
Don't I?
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess it's my turn again.
Maybe.
All right, so GamePolitics.com this morning, looks like they pulled it from The Australian. ACIG praises a U.S. ISP entertainment industry agreement. All right, so the Australian Content Industry Group spokeswoman Sabian Hindel pens an editorial in The Australian praising the recent deal between internet service providers and content creators in the United States. They say, you know, the deal that has basically turned ISPs into internet traffic cops.
This is true.
Hindel starts out by calling the deal good news for anyone who has released an album, made a movie, developed a video game or software, or written a book anywhere in the world. Whatever. Pirating was around before that. ISPs, including AT&T, Cablevision, and Comcast, have hammered out a deal to control their subscribers who engage in online copyright infringement. Those content providers include some notable companies such as Walt Disney, Paramount, Universal Music, and Sony Music Entertainment. Heindel also claims that it is good news for consumers because it means content creators and the ISPs who deliver the content are extending often existing partnerships to ensure that it's as easy for as easy as possible for consumers to access and enjoy it. Is she, like, stoned? Because some of these are really hard. All right, so anyways, true story. Man, I was upset the other day. I could no longer download a software that I purchased, like, 2 years ago because, yeah. I was like, but I bought your extended program. Oh, sorry, we're no longer offering that.
Who was this? Let's talk about them.
It was Microsoft. It was through Microsoft. Remember, they used to have the digital locker.
Oh, yes.
They closed the digital locker. But I had purchased an antivirus software, which is still up to date. I'm still paying for their service, but I can no longer download it because they got rid of the locker.
Oh, I think that calls for a contact and a story. That's what I think that calls for.
I'm mad because I still have it. I'm still paying their yearly service. And from the website, from the manufacturer's website, it says, oh, yeah, go here and download it. I go there to the Microsoft website, and they're like, oh, sorry, can't do that anymore. It's, you know, 2 years, and we don't offer it after that.
You know, you brought up an interesting point about digital downloads and how long they keep it. Because I can tell you, Lemonade Tycoon, I bought years ago from PopCap. And, of course, I can no longer download it if I wanted to play it. And I have wanted to play it every once in a while, just, you know, nostalgia. But mm-hmm. I couldn't. You know, I can't. Where would I get it from? Where do I start tracking down my game? So what happens?
I think they ought to give me my money back after 2 years. If I can't download it after that, I want my money back.
I completely agree.
I mean, that or send me a physical disc once I purchase it.
Yeah.
Because something. This is ridiculous that I'm having to buy brand new service.
And that would be
somebody else's time.
And that would be the only area, the absolute only area where EA actually has everybody beat. You can still, if you purchased a copy of the original Sims or Sims 2 via digital download, still go back and download it. It's the only thing that I love that they do. But the rest of them out there, once it's gone, it's gone.
Yes, and I'm very upset about this.
Sorry.
All right. So Heindel goes on to praise similar efforts in other countries, including France, South Korea, New Zealand, and Britain. She says that the core of the U.S. agreement is similar to what her interest group, the Australian Content Industry, ACIG, recently produced in Australia. The U.S. agreement directs ISPs to send warnings and alerts to subscribers who are allegedly infringing copyrights online, with escalating urgency where there is evidence that illegal file sharing is occurring on their Internet accounts. So forget for a moment that the fact that there is no appeals process if you're a subscriber who feels that you are falsely accused when these first warnings and alerts are sent to you. She claims this new voluntary agreement is meant to educate the user about the damage illegal file sharing does to the content industries and to encourage them to access movies, music, and other content from legal sites in a way that supports creators. The agreement also includes mitigation measures for those who repeatedly ignore the warnings, and it does not involve terminating Internet accounts. Heindel says that research shows that up to 70% of users will stop illegally file sharing after they receive a warning and face a threat of potential sanctions if they continue. All right, so they give us some experts that they think are important. One of them is, the significance of the U.S. agreement cannot be overstated. It has proved wrong all those people who thought that content industries and ISPs could never come to a voluntary agreement in a market as big and as complex as the U.S., It also demonstrates very clearly that the ISPs now recognize they have enough skin in the game to want to see the playing field leveled for the creation and distribution of content. Creative industries have embraced the new digital business models enabled by broadband and wireless technology, allowing them to provide consumers with great new services over the web, IPTV, and mobile phones. In fact, both the video game and music industries make more than a third of their revenue from digital sources. In Australia, many creative industries and ISPs already have partnerships to provide legitimate content to Australian consumers. Telstra's Big Pond Music is just one example. They say, ultimately, Heindel's point in writing the editorial is to push for a similar system in Australia, which goes on to say the U.S. agreement should encourage content providers and ISPs in Australia to continue talking and to work harder to come up with a commercial negotiated scheme that works for everyone, including consumers,
There need not be a winner or loser. Everyone can benefit from this.
No, we can't.
No. Sorry, guys.
You can leave us alone and just let us download at our leisure.
Yes, thank you.
How about that? That's the only it's the only agreement we want to come to. That's horrible. I had to pause for a second and breathe. It's hot. I'm having breathing issues. All right, so those of you who are looking all forward to Diablo 3, I am not. I'm Diabloed out, just like I was Haloed out. Remember, before Halo, it was all Diablo. So I played Diablo on AOL and everywhere else. So I'm tired of Diablo. I will not be going back. Maybe not. Maybe. But Blizzard is saying they're introducing real currency to Diablo 3. Yes, real money.
Oh, yeah?
MMO Diablo 3.
We want money from you.
We want to get more money from you. Diablo 3 will offer players a chance to use real-world currency to trade game items. The service will be on an item-by-item basis via an eBay-style auction house system and entirely optional. I saw that coming because, you know, you couldn't stop them from doing it anyway. You might as well institute it yourself. gold-based auction houses will be available for players who don't wish to spend their money in-game. Since it was definitely a design decision, this is the game's lead designer, Jay Wilson. He told this to Eurogamer. He says players can purchase gold, weapons and armor, and runestones via their registered Battle.net accounts. Blizzard will not sell gameplay-affecting items and has stated it has no plans to post items directly to the auction house, leaving trading to the players. Interesting. He says trading is not very good in Diablo, and yet it's a game without about trading, explained Wilson. Trading is the way you get the best items in Diablo, and yet there was no trading mechanism to speak of, so we wanted to focus on filling that hole. He says when selling, players can use the money that they earn to purchase other... Yeah, who wrote this? Diablo 3 items through the auction house, purchase Battle.net accounts, products such as World of Warcraft subscriptions, or claim the cash through the third-party services. This is going to be interesting. For each item sold for real currency, players will be charged an unspecified nominal fixed transaction fee by Blizzard, which will vary by region and whether or not the item sold. Players will also be charged a fee for withdrawing sales proceeds from their Battle.net account. Wilson denied that this was the main motivation behind the decision. Certainly, there's an economic element to the auction house for us, and it came first and foremost as what we want to do for players. And what service can we possibly offer that would make the game experience better? Because if we make money on it, that's great. We're a business and we want to make money, but not at the expense of the customer.
Money is good.
But because we've offered them something that was worth their money, Blizzard further explained its motivations in an official statement citing player behavior and security. He says the item-based nature of Diablo gameplay has always lent itself to an active trade-based ecosystem, and a significant part of this trade has been conducted through unsecure third-party organizations. Yes. Ooh, I got a sneeze. Had to mute for that. Blizzard said it will not be introducing the system to its other MMORPG, World of Warcraft, due to differences in the gameplay. It also clarified that it has no plans to provide support for the auction house system to mobile devices. Ew. Diablo 3 still has no official release date, but is currently recruiting players for a beta test. Yes, you can do Diablo beta. Did we get invited to beta? Seems like we did. I think we weren't paying attention.
If we were, I wasn't told.
Well, Diablo 2.
Well, I was... Or I could have been told and I wasn't listening.
It was released way back in 2000, but it still has a large online audience. Gosh, has it been that long? 2000?
It's been, yeah.
Wow, that's so long ago. That was before we were born here.
Say what?
Not that kind of born. The sites before we were born, before we existed.
Yeah.
That is amazing. It's been that long ago. It seems so short time ago. I remember arguing with my friend playing Diablo. Why you get to pick up all the gold?
Oh, I remember that with EverQuest. I hated that because I was a healer. Never, ever got loot. I was mad.
Yeah, like the newbie gamers are like, well, why didn't you just split it? Because there was no such thing. Whoever picked it up,
got it. Such thing. Yes, and if you were the healer, you were always the last one doing something. You were always healing everybody up, buffing them up, you know, making sure they weren't going to die from whatever craziness had just happened. Mm-hmm. And by the time you were done, all the loot was gone. I was all like, seriously, guys? Really?
Healed. That's when healers started understanding their power.
Yes, yes, yes.
How about you don't let me pick up the gold? I ain't going to heal you.
Yes, that worked amazingly well for monks.
Worst dweller in City of Heroes, too. You better share or I ain't going to heal you.
Mm-hmm.
I will teleport out and leave you standing there to get killed. No, I will not resurrect you. No.
You know, I did love that about monks in EverQuest, that they actually, because the money weighed a certain amount, and they would actually sit there and barter with you to break down their money so they have fewer coins that would weigh less so that they wouldn't be weighed down. I thought that was amusing.
Yeah, see, we used to have much more power in games. Remember the days in EverQuest when people would talk smack and you could root them to the ground and leave them there so that the monsters could get them? That was amazing, right?
Yes. Or, you know, you just run around the zone and you grab everything you could and then just run on top of them, scream and train.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do, but I make sure I root them to the ground. Remember the root spell where they couldn't move?
Yeah.
Then I'd run around and grab everything and run by and root them. Bam, now you're stuck here and they're going to beat you up. They need to put that back in. I want some more Wild West gaming. I need it back.
Yes.
I've got somebody I need to cut.
I don't know how many times I'd come through a zone and face first with a mob of mobs. Somebody was all, train to zone. Ah, crap, I just zoned in. I can't get out fast enough. That was the days of AOL and dial-up. That was.
Oh, God.
So getting back to the zone and hoping you were alive by the time you get back to the other side.
Because they were bashing you in the head, you could hear yourself going,
Yes, as you watch that slow little loading bar slowly, ever so slowly creep across the screen.
come on.
Oh my God. God, that's a blast from the past.
I miss. Oh, yeah. Before, is it my turn?
No, it's my turn.
Well, can I do something real quick? Let me just roll.
Sure.
The people that are working on Little Big Planet are hiring. So those of you who need a job. I'm waiting for the email address to pop up again. jobs@double11.co.uk. Make sure you apply. Send your CV. So it is in the UK if you didn't know co.uk meant. But they're hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Go over.
Yay!
It's Double 11 Studios. Yeah, it's Double 11 Studios who made Little Big Planet. So go check it out if you need a job and you're in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So Taiga shortlisted in Chartered Management Institute's award. Taiga, the trade association representing the UK games industry, today announced that it has been voted a finalist in the CMI Management and Leadership Awards in the category of Outstanding Organization. Dr. Richard Wilson, Taiga CEO, has been voted a finalist in the Outstanding Leader category. That's awesome, guys. All right, so the CMI Management and Leadership Awards is the key annual event for recognizing strong leadership, innovative management, and continuous improvement and learning. The awards are a benchmark against which organizations can. all right, I kill myself. The awards are a benchmark against which organizations can measure their capabilities in these areas. The CMI will announce the winners of each category at an awards dinner at the Landmark Hotel on Thursday, 20th October 2011. Dr. Richard Wilson, Taiga CEO, says, "We are very excited that Taiga has been named by the CMI as a finalist in the category of the Outstanding Organization. At Taiga, we are determined to build a lasting organization, the best in its field, which continually improves in order to benefit the UK video games industry and the wider economy. It is excellent that the CMI has recognized Taiga's high performance over the last year. From a personal perspective, I am extremely honored to have been voted as finalist in the Outstanding Leader category." All right, so Jason Kingsley, Taiga Chairman and CEO and Creative Director of Rebellion, says, "Being voted as a finalist in these awards is a significant achievement. The Taiga Board and the Taiga team are focused on continuously improving our organization in order to serve our members and the UK gamers industry ever more effectively." Gareth Edmondson says, Gareth Edmondson, Taiga Vice Chairman and MD of Ubisoft Reflections, says, "Simply to be voted as finalist in these awards is impressive, given that Taiga is competing against all kinds of organizations, including for-profit businesses. Ubisoft Reflections is proud to be a Taiga member, and we hope that more game businesses will join the Taiga cause." I'm going to kill your name. Patrick Olane, maybe? Luane? Anyways. Taiga board member and CEO of InDreams Ltd. says, Taiga continues to go from strength to strength. We are providing a strong voice for the gamers industry in the media, championing the industry in political circles, and providing real benefits to game businesses. For Taiga and its CEO to be nominated for 2 CMI awards is a testament to our progress. I am confident that all of Taiga's members will be really pleased by today's news. So, yay, way to go, Taiga. That is awesome.
Yay.
Yay.
Do you want them to have applause? Yay.
Yeah. Maybe applause. Here we go. Yay.
Doesn't that sound excited?
Yay. Yeah, you sound excited.
Yay.
Woot, woot.
I've rubbed off on her. It's too late. Save yourselves, run. All right. I think we got time for one more before we take a quick and lovely break. Well, those of you who are wondering, 3DS and Wii U are going to support paid DLC. Nintendo has confirmed that developers for the 3DS and the Wii U will have the option to include paid item transactions in their games. That's dangerous. Speaking during a call with investors, wait a minute, did we miss? Yeah, I think we did. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, being reported by Andrea Tsang, Satoru Iwata said that the system would be in place for 3DS developers by the end of the year. However, while Iwata expressed interest in extending the life of a game through added stages, he questioned the value of the concept to Nintendo's products. He used unlocking keys and stat increases as examples of low-quality paid items that would damage the company's relationships with its customers, even if they did boost profits in the near term. Profits will be very much on the minds of Nintendo's investors following the release of the Quarter 1 financial report that reduced the company's earnings forecast by 82%, resulting in a sharp decline in stock value, and Iwata taking a 50% pay cut, which we think is absolutely excellent of him, by the way. Iwata stated that growing Nintendo's digital business will be a key focus over the next 3 years. The company wishes to make the eShop into a larger presence in the habits of its consumers and increase online transactions by 5 to 10% over the current levels.
What we have here?
Well, the comments on it are great over at gi.biz. Yeah, one of the guys is making an interesting comment, is that Nintendo is very different culture from our own, so they don't tend to track the whole online, you know, sales thing. So they don't have any internal data, but they're looking at it, so who knows what they'll do with it. It's just something that they knew for them to play with and take on. So we'll see what they do. Who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows?
I know I need to. I forgot to buy my stock. I forgot, but I'm writing it down on my pad today. We're going over to get me some Nintendo stock while it's low.
Yes.
Did you see my picture I put up on Twitter on Thursday?
No, I didn't. I'm gonna have to go and check that out.
I would like to add you people out there that are saying little girls don't game. There was one in the GameStop that was playing Dead or Alive, yes, of all games, on the 3DS and would not move. No matter who came over, I said, can I play?
Very nice. See, that's awesome right
and
there.
She was good at it. So girls do like games, and it was a fighting game. I was like, you like that? Oh, I love it. I've never seen this before. I never played it. So, yes, sometimes we don't need to just be cooking all the time and making clothes, although we do enjoy that. Sometimes I just want to punch somebody in the face and then flip them over my head and stomp on their neck. Just sometimes you just want to.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to.
Oh, is it time for break after I say all that?
Yeah.
I just want to flip you over my head and put my foot on your neck.
And you'll come back and I got some Angry Birds for you.
No more Angry Birds. I think I'm...
Yeah, we got some Angry Birds. Looks like we might have some PAX news.
Oh, good God.
Maybe some Gears of War.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. I guess so. Well, I need to play your song for you, I guess, huh?
Yes, my song. Which song are we playing?
This one. This has been earlier.
I hear my kind in a coma freeze. Lonely.
admit I do kind of want to get up and break up and stuff. And
yeah.
I do feel like jumping up and just slamming into some stuff. Yeah. That is
what. Yes.
All right. We are on the other side.
We're on the other side. Yay. We made it.
Wow. You welcome to the other side. So, Ginger, what you got?
I got Angry Birds for China.
Angry Birds for China?
Mm-hmm. Just for China.
Is it just for China?
Apparently so. So, yeah, GamePolitics.com this morning says, even China cannot escape the allure of the Angry Birds franchise. Rovio Entertainment announced the opening of corporate and marketing operations in China. The goal of this move is to bring a tailored Angry Birds game to China. China is currently the second largest market for Angry Birds and potential for continued growth. Oh, wait, hold on. I skipped a line somewhere. China is currently the second largest market for Angry Birds and represents what Rovio calls an immense potential for continued growth. Rovio Entertainment expects 100 million Angry Bird downloads in China by the end of 2011. Rovio will develop games and other products exclusive to Chinese fans. Communist potato games, anybody? The first game, the Moon Festival episode for Angry Birds Seasons, will be ready for launch in September, in time for the Mid-Autumn Festival. Beyond China Moon Festival, we'll share this culturally important festival season with hundreds of millions of Angry Bird fans worldwide, celebrating Chinese culture in every corner of the world. Angry Birds-themed mooncakes will also be available in China. In addition to expanding its operations staff in China, Rovio is adding strategic partners to its Angry Birds in China team. Angry Birds China team, PPW, has been appointed as the licensing representative. PPW has been appointed as the licensing representative of the Angry Birds franchise. Madhouse, China's leading mobile ad network, will partner with Angry Birds to expand virtual and real-world connections and reach via prime-time mobile advertising concepts. Additional mobile ad industry partners are expected to be announced soon. Angry Birds branded products will also be available in China, including a line of Angry Birds shoes at Liteo, China's largest online shoe company. Wow. All right, so Angry Birds invades China. Of course, you know, nobody in China can hear this because I totally lost us all the servers the other day.
Yeah, you sure did. Mm-hmm. It's
sure did. Yep.
Well, there is an interesting, you know, you guys know we love GI.biz, right? Gamesindustry.biz?
GI.biz.
Well, one of the columnists over there, Rob Farley, who is very cute, by the way. Rob Fahey. Cute, by the way. Very cute.
Really?
Ladies, he's gorgeous. Yeah.
Really?
Loves you, a good-looking geeky boy. Love it. But in any case.
I'm going to have to go look this up a little bit.
Yes. He's asking a very good question, which, well, I don't know if we'll talk about it Thursday night or not, probably because I'll have to contend with Blaster. Is this the end of handhelds? You might want to go and check that out. If you're one of those people who is completely against Nintendo, you're happy about the what's going on, that they're not doing so well. But the interesting point, I think, is a point that we've brought up here before as well. This is the reasons that has to do with the disappointing performance of the 3DS, and he also points out that this is a failure for Nintendo, which by other company standards, he says, if you compare it to the Windows 7 phone or Android phones or other tablet devices, it's just a failure for Nintendo. They still sold 4.5 million units, which is pretty damn good, but not within Nintendo's personal standards that they set for themselves. So, but I like the part where he's saying, he says a lot of consumers are thinking that this has to do, well, he says a lot of consumers don't know what the DS can do. Remember, we've said that a lot before.
Mm-hmm.
They think it's pretty much just a DS with a 3D screen. He says they're not aware of the capabilities. He said, so it was mostly a marketing failure. He says that it's not the consumer's fault. It is the marketing people's fault. So I've always said that, too, that a lot of people had no idea how powerful this little thing was. He says, and of course, the most logical step would be to cut the price, which they've done. He says they've not tried to hide behind their failure, and we do have a lot of our companies here in the U.S. that tend to do that. You screw up, and then you hide behind it instead of just saying, yeah, we screwed up, and, you know, we're going to try to hide it. So what I'm going to tell you guys is go check this article out. A lot of interesting points. And if you are not a Nintendo fan person, I do urge you to go out and check out the 3DS. I'm saying this because I don't want it to die or go away, because people have no idea, again, just how powerful the 3DS is. This is not because I'm a Nintendo fangirl. I just like really good gadgets. If it's a good gadget, I'll support it. Like, I may not necessarily like Apple, but I do have to give them some credit. iPad is pretty damn awesome. What can I say? So I say go over and check out that article. It's a very good one if you want to keep up with your gaming news. Also a reason why you should buy your Nintendo stock. They're not going to be down for long. Just to point out to you.
Yes, definitely sounds that way.
But that is not my story, by the way. I wanted to point that out because I was coming over it. I love to read me some good things. What I do want to point out to you. Let me clear my throat. Okay, I talked to you about this at the show. What kind of business is this going on? Okay, anyway. I'm not happy about this. Some of you are. You saw this, I'm pretty sure, Ginger. Gears of War is going to be a board game.
Yes, I did.
What the hell? Okay.
No, that's what I said. I was like, what?
Gears of War, the board game, will be released next month, transitioning from slick, fast-paced action game to the calmer settings of a board game. Loosely based on the video games, the board game comes packed with over 30 plastic figures that little boys will be shoving into their noses or ears, most likely, or little girls, too.
Ew.
200 game cards that will be eaten by babies, 35 Locust AI cards, I have no idea what it is, but they'll be shoved between the refrigerator and the stove somewhere, or inside an Xbox, even worse, 17 double-sided map tiles that will end up inside somebody's ear or stuck in a PS Vita or something, 75 tokens and markers, one mission reference sheet that'll get coffee poured on it, and one line of sight ruler, 5 attack dice that will be swallowed or lost somewhere, and 4 defense dice that'll also be swallowed or lost somewhere. Players will be able to use a number of tactics from Gears of War 1 and 2, including Roadie Run, Blind Fire, or the trusty Lancer Chainsaw in close quarters. A more detailed description of the game, along with some photos of the actual board and people, will be found at Fantasy Flight Games. FFG list of, I gotta sneeze again. Sorry, guys. It's aggravating the allergies. FFG lists the release date for the Gears of War, the board game, as coming soon. But when it does ship, it's going to cost you $69.95. Are you effing kidding me?
No, I don't think they are.
Well, one of the posters is saying, sometimes board games can be fun, but the $70 is a bit much. You can actually buy the game for that much, like the actual game. And the reason why I was saying all that is because you all that grew up with board games, you know what happens to the pieces.
They disappear.
They disappear. They get melted in the microwave. They end up inside food that
somebody's
cooking.
Nose.
Yes, yeah, my nose, ear. So that's part of the reason why video games became so popular for a lot of gamer parents, because it's hard to lose the pizza, even though some kids do manage to stick pizza inside the Xbox and things like that. But
yes, I never understood how that happens. But
I don't know how those kids, they have a good grasp of, I think their minds are not limited.
How irritate their gamer parents.
Well, no, I mean, they have a good grasp of something to fit a pizza inside the tray and get it to close so that the parent doesn't know. You know, everything looks normal when you walk up, and then when you open it, you know, the cheese. And how do they do that? We need to start watching these kids. They know something that we don't. Spatial concepts and whatnot.
They got something going on.
Babies are too smart for their own good. They must be destroyed.
Oh, kick the baby.
We are still going to get in trouble for that. We got to get this in before we go. Go do your ginger, then I got to do this other one. I got to do this.
All right. So, yeah, I'm just reading this one because it made me laugh. Furry Legends, the long-awaited physics platform coming soon to Nintendo. Do you like furries, Corey? I know you like furries.
Mm-mm. No.
All right. They say if you love furries, you'll love this physics platform. All right. So about Furry Legends. Furry Legends for Nintendo DSiWare is a fantasy adventure game based on the same WiiWare game. The environment and puzzles in Furry Legends are driven by real-time physics featuring moving bridges, falling stones, rotating elevators, and much more. In the Furry Legends world, everything is a bit crazy. You think? Furry Legends takes place in a distant world called Furland. populated by lovely furballs created hundreds of years ago by a mysterious deity known as the Creator. Furry Legends lets the player experience the unknown story of a group of furballs who encountered an invasion of strange triangular beings that came to Furry Planet from another dimension. All right, so some key features. Four worlds. Explore the world of Furland through four varied and detailed environments, including the home planets, an evil volcano, and mysterious pyramids. Action. Furballs will have to fight against loads of evil triangles with different superpowers and perform heroic actions like an epic escape from the center of a volcano. Real-time physics. Solve puzzles with a new engine allowing physical interactions with Furland's world. Right, so this sounds completely crazy, and I just had to read it because, you know, it's all about furries. Yay! Furries! All right, I'm done.
No.
No, ma'am, no.
No, ma'am, no. All right. I am sorry to end the news on this note, but South Korean people are probably not that happy this morning, or it's afternoon for them, actually. Hackers have attacked South Korea's SK Communications Services CyWorld Innate, accessing the names, phone numbers, and emails of 35 million users. The company has confirmed that a leak of customers' information has taken place due to a hacking back on July 26, said SK Communications. The specific scale of the hacking is still being investigated, but it is estimated that some of the personal information of 35 million Nate and CyWorld members have been leaked. Jo Hong-chul, SK Communications CEO, also issued a formal apology. He said, concerning this incident, we offer our apology to our customers and have taken all the necessary measures to minimize the impact and identify the cause and retrieve customer information in cooperation with the authorities. SK Communications also reported that data like passwords were encrypted. The Korean Communications Commission revealed the attacks, which affected more than half of South Korea's population, and claims they originated from IP addresses in China.
That's not good.
South Korean authorities are currently investigating the breach. The incident is the latest in a spate of cyber attacks to affect the country. In March, 29 different South Korean bodies were affected, including financial institutions, military headquarters, and government ministries. CyWorld is a social network, not unlike Facebook, launched back in 1999, currently has 25 million users, and Nate is a popular South Korean web portal and the country's third most used search engine. Ugh. No good. This is no good. Sorry to hear that, guys. Sorry. Oh. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I thought something else interesting pop up, but no, you don't need to know about that.
No?
No, it wasn't interesting. Oh, well, we got to get out of here. We really got to go.
All right. Well, let's get out of here then.
Why do you want to leave?
Well, it is that kind of day.
Look, after I said we got to go.
It is that time of day again.
I'm sorry. I like teasing the ginger.
You do. Everybody's always picking on the ginger.
Nobody's picking me. We love you.
Be nice. I'll find more stories about furry games.
You see I'm giving you face now, don't you?
I ain't scared of your face.
Mm-hmm. I know how to find you in Second Life.
No.
I got 15 avatars, just so you know.
No. Hey, there's my song.
All right, guys, you know where to find us. And if you don't, shame on you.
Ooh, August is the month of machinima.
Indeed it is. We should have some of that up pretty soon.
Yes, yes, we should.
As soon as I get a free day.
Hang with me in my
see you guys tomorrow.
So bye, guys and girls.
We can go. You'll never see my actual face.
One more time, Ginger.
Goodbye, boys and girls. Mwah, 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 mwah.